Good morning, everyone. Susanna DeBacca is the President and Chief Executive Officer of Planned Parenthood of the Heartland, which is an affiliate of Planned Parenthood Federation of America. Planned Parenthood has served women and men of all ages since the 1930s. Today, the agency offers a full range of quality reproductive health care and other health services to residents in Arkansas, Iowa, Nebraska, and eastern Oklahoma. Last year, they served nearly 60,000 patients and reached nearly 100,000 more individuals through educational programs, trainings, and outreach. Susanna serves as president and CEO of the organization's three advocacy arms, Planned Parenthood Voters of Iowa, Planned Parenthood Voters of Nebraska, and Planned Parenthood Voters of Arkansas. These organizations work in the political and policy arenas to protect access to Planned Parenthood of the Heartland in all of those communities. She brings more than 20 years of executive experience in leadership at public and private and non-profit organizations to the role. Before accepting this role, she spent nearly two decades as an executive in the investment management and personal finance industries. She has been recognized in national media as an industry expert in finance, with particular expertise in women's and LGBT issues and the intersections of health and money. She held senior positions at Ameriprise Financial, at Bank of America's private bank, and at Morgan Stanley, as well as founding and operating her own financial advisory firm. She's a former member of the PP Heartland Board of Directors. She also served on the boards of Planned Parenthood Minnesota, North Dakota, and South Dakota, the Minnesota Women's Foundation, and the Hennepin County Medical Center. She's been active in community work and in alumni organizations. She received her bachelor's degree from Iowa State. Earned her MBA from Harvard University's School of Business Administration. So please join me in welcoming Susanna this morning.
I have to shorten the mic there. Good morning, everybody. How are all of you? You are an early bunch. I'm really very impressed. 7 a.m. for, what'd you say, 30 years? 20 years. Amazing, amazing. So, first of all, I'm delighted to be here, and I want to say special, special thanks to Jonathan Wilson, who's a personal hero of mine. So thank you for inviting me, and it's very nice to meet all of you. I also want to do a shout-out to Daniel Hoffman-Zinnel, who is now Dr. Daniel Hoffman-Zinnel, who is our leader of education and leadership, or director of education and leadership at Planned Parenthood of the Heartland, and is a member here. So thank you for being here as well. When Jonathan and I were getting carried away and talking a little bit too long in the back of the room, we were talking a little bit about how far Des Moines and Iowa have come in terms of gay rights, LGBT rights, since I was growing up here. And so I wanted to give you a little bit of a background about me and my involvement and how I feel that reproductive rights and sexual health, sort of things that we do at Planned Parenthood, are very, very linked with gay rights. I think a lot of people tend to think Planned Parenthood, oh, that's just women and pregnancy. But in fact, we have a lot more in common. Just to kind of prove that, let me do a little show of hands here. How many of you have ever given any thought to your, I don't know, sexuality, sexual orientation? hands, okay, everybody. How many of you have ever maybe purchased a condom? Oh, they admit it here early. And then how many of you have a sister, a friend who has worried about an unintended pregnancy? Probably almost everybody in the room. So reproductive rights, sexual health, LGBT issues, all these things really kind of go hand in hand. I grew up in a little town called Huxley. Is anybody going to clap about that? Anybody know where? Yay, Huxley, yes. And I was very lucky because my mother, in particular, was insistent that we had medically accurate information about our bodies and about sex. So I learned early on, you know, medically accurate names for everything in my body. I learned about, you know, what was going to happen during puberty, about my period, about how sex and pregnancy happened, all of those types of things. Now, don't get too excited. It was a very Catholic household, so when it came to sexual activity, the answer was just don't do it until you're married. We also know there's a lot of ways around that, but that's a whole nother speech that I'll give some other time. And I was also very lucky to have a very close friend whose mother was on the board of Planned Parenthood when I was growing up. And their house was very different. When I went over there, I learned about birth control. They had boyfriends who they were having sex with, the girls, and there was no judgment around that. So I really was able to have good education about a variety of points of view, but medically accurate information, and to begin forming my own opinions about my body, myself, and my own sexuality. But my older sister really wasn't as fortunate. My older sister was gay. It was very obvious to everybody in our family that she was gay. And that really wasn't a problem for my mother in particular. My dad had more mixed feelings because my mother also had a gay sister. And there had never been any question about whether we loved our aunt or not. But there was never any acknowledgement, really, out loud of the fact that she was gay. She never brought her partners home for the holidays. My mom would give them gifts, but they were always called Lois's friends. They weren't really acknowledged. So I think my sister knew she would never be rejected, but it was very much in the closet. There was no discussion about it. And I watched her really struggle, and this is in the late 70s and early 80s. And unlike me, who could go to my friend's house, you know, open any book, talk to people, she really didn't have anybody that she could talk to about her sexuality, about her choices, about how she was showing up in the world. And I know that that influenced and impacted me. When you have somebody that you love in your life who is not able to live a fully authentic life, express themselves, or are experiencing confusion, it's very painful. So as I was sort of developing my own feminist philosophy, it became very clear to me that women's rights, reproductive rights, gay rights were really all about our quest to be able to live our own authentic lives, to make our own decisions, our own private decisions about our bodies and our sexuality, and to be able to live openly and freely in the world with those decisions. So as my own, you know, philosophies grew, and as I thought about my career choices, it was really wonderful as I evolved and came back to Planned Parenthood to be able to sort of marry these different aspects of what I consider civil rights and social justice. The gay movement and the reproductive rights and sexual health movements have always been linked. We've had opposition, we've fought, but we continue to move forward and prevail, and we're very, very glad to have the support of the LGBT community, as we also continue at Planned Parenthood to provide services and support that community as well. So I want to take a little bit of time to tell you about Planned Parenthood and the work we do, touch a little bit on, oh, you might have seen us in the news, some of those stories, and then also talk about how, if you're interested, you could get involved, and then open it up for any Q&A that you have. So as Ryan said, Planned Parenthood of the Heartland is now actually a four-state affiliate. Over the years, Planned Parenthood was founded, the first clinic, about 100 years ago. It'll be 100 years next October. There were lots of little local affiliates. Well, as the healthcare landscape has changed, there's been a lot of consolidation, and so now we have responsibility for a four-state region. We have 18 health centers in these four different states, still the preponderance of which are here in Iowa, which is a very, very strong state. We have voter organizations in the four states because the legislation that happens in those four states is very, very different. The laws are very different around reproductive and sexual health and sex ed as well. And so we have to have very different approaches in those states. But Last year, we served about 50,000 people with a variety of different types of services. Contraceptive services are still the largest service that we offer, and we have a very wide variety of contraceptive services. You guys may know about the pill that women take, but now there are much more long-acting forms of contraception. We call LARC, long-acting reversible contraceptives, like patches or shots that prevent pregnancy for up to even 5 year period of time. So contraceptive services, we do HIV testing, we do sexually transmitted infection testing that's broader than that. We do pregnancy testing, abortion services, we now do trans work, which I'll tell you a little bit more about. And then of course a very, very robust education department that provides training and education on a variety of topics. Pregnancy prevention. We do a lot around sort of healthy relationships and self-efficacy, where we're reaching the LGBT community as well as the straight community, preventing sexually transmitted infections. Those are a lot of the education work that we do. So that's just a little bit of an overview. 4 states, 18 centers, a variety of different health services, as well as education and advocacy. So let me tell you a little bit about what's been happening to Planned Parenthood politically. So have you seen us in the news? Can you help but seeing us in the news? I feel sometimes like we're a star in the debates as much as the candidates are. But Planned Parenthood has always, really, from the day we started, been under attack of one sort or another, and for sort of the reasons I was talking about at the very beginning, is the fact that we're talking a lot and providing services to help people make private decisions about their bodies can be very, very threatening and scary to people who don't want us to have that control, or who feel that they know what's best for us, for women, for their families, for men, whoever it is. When Margaret Sanger started Planned Parenthood, the first clinic back in 1916, all she was doing was providing information about contraception, and she was thrown in jail promptly because at that point in time, any information even about contraception was considered pornography. Can you believe that? I mean, it just is crazy to me. But she was thrown in jail then. So we've had controversial roots. When abortion became legal, that was controversial. It wasn't until 50 years ago that birth control was actually legal for married couples, which seems crazy to us now, and not until 3 years later that a single woman could obtain birth control legally. I mean, so we have come a long way in many, many, many ways, Jonathan. So there's always been fights for women to have these rights, or for individuals who use our services to be able to make the decisions they want, or to have access to the care that they want, because a lot of our patients are low-income individuals with very little power, very little choice. So what happened last summer was an organization that called itself the Center for Medical Progress began to release a series of videos that were the result of a 3-year sort of sting undercover operation, which we know now was just filled with illegal activity, falsifying their identities, falsifying records about their organization, potentially defrauding the government, taking money from individuals under false pretenses to support this organization, and then of course videotaping people who work at Planned Parenthood and other organizations for the sole purpose of trying to discredit the work that we do. So these videos captured people talking about a legal practice, which is fetal tissue donation. If a woman chooses to do so with her consent, the products of conception following an abortion can be donated for research purposes. And That tissue has been useful in life-saving research for years. Parkinson's disease, Alzheimer's disease, you know, this huge list of others. We have made medical advances because of the use of fetal tissue research. But, you know, even saying the word fetal tissue can be jarring and controversial. And so when this group put these videos together and manipulated the footage, they, you know, attempted to portray us as doing something illegal or in a bad light. And there is absolutely no wrongdoing on our part, which is now being proven over and over and over again in state investigations. But what happened with those videos was actually, from their standpoint, successful. It created a media frenzy and brought attention to Planned Parenthood and created opportunity for Congress to start talking about defunding. We get a lot of public funding both at a state and federal level because we are providing services to low-income individuals. And so over the last several months, we've really been under attack. We have had Medicaid contracts pulled in some states. We're actively in lawsuits against two lawsuits against the state of Arkansas for pulling our contracts and doing some other things. We have had investigations, harassment, protesters, and really just dealing with all of the frenzy in the press. But the good news is it has not worked. It has not worked at all. Planned Parenthood's brand, in fact, is stronger than ever. The words that our patients and our supporters associate with us, high quality, compassionate, non-judgmental care, are stronger than ever. Our patients are still showing up, and vote after vote of defunding has been defeated. So it's been a rough 6 months for us, but when I think about the historical journey that the LGBT movement has been under, when I think about the work that we've been doing for 100 years, this is not phasing us. We will just continue to fight and we'll continue to prevail because the people who depend on us for care, they're not coming to us for political reasons. They're coming because they need our services and they appreciate the approach that we're taking. So that's a little bit about what's been happening with Planned Parenthood, and I'm happy to answer questions. I want to underscore just a couple of the services and work kinds of work that we do with the LGBT community. We are actually going to be offering PrEP at our centers. We're actively training our providers, and it will be rolling that out next month. We do a great deal of education work, as I alluded to, with the LGBT community. Very, very involved in Pride Month across our four state affiliates with a variety of activities and education. And then one of our corporate or one of our organizational values is diversity and inclusivity. And so we do a great deal of work to foster understanding internally, but Daniel and his team also do a fair amount of work with the provider community, trying to train them on how to be more diverse, inclusive, and to think about work that and language that they can be using with all patients to be more more respectful. And then the other thing that I mentioned that we do is trans work, and that's something we're very interested in. I think we're going to be seeing more and more individuals who are, now that there's some conversation in the media and some celebrity faces, I think people kind of understand what it is that they're experiencing, and they know there are places they can go. So in two of our locations, in Lincoln and in Tulsa, we provide hormone therapy. In fact, our provider in Tulsa herself is a trans, is an individual who identifies as transgender, and tells just incredibly moving stories about her own personal journey and the discrimination that she's faced. So one of our goals is to, again, provide that compassionate, non-judgmental access for individuals who need that type of care. So I know I'm throwing a lot of information at you, as I said, our worlds collide. There's a lot of things that we have in common. If you're wondering how you might support Planned Parenthood or get involved, I've got a couple of ideas for you, shockingly. One is simply sign up to be a supporter. We have sign-up sheets at the table that Daniel will collect. That'll put you on our mailing list. I promise we won't send you too many solicitations, but it will get you some invitations to some pretty cool parties here in Des Moines and in other places. Sometimes those involve center tours, so if you're ever interested in touring one of our locations, we'd be happy to help. So sign up, that's number one. Of course, we're a nonprofit organization. About 30% of our revenue comes from private donations, and we provide millions of dollars of uncompensated care. So if you are moved to make a donation, we would be very appreciative. And then the third thing is lend your voice to us as well. We do a huge amount of political work. I was talking about the attacks we're facing. All that sort of shows up in the legislature with bad bills that we have to defeat. We have our Iowa Lobby Day on March 15th. We'd love to have you along. And if not, we can tell you how to write your Congress people in order to either support good bills or to help us to defeat some of the bad legislation that blocks access to some of these important services. So those are a couple of ideas. You also mentioned you had books, so if you love books, come to our book sale that we have two times a year. There will be another one. I see nods. Book sale fans, yay. But at any rate, I'm grateful to be here. I'm grateful for your support and understanding. I consider the LGBT community allies and very much linked with the work that we are doing. So thank you for your support. Simply by being here and being open-minded and listening, you are making a difference in your community, and I'm happy to be here and happy to meet you and take any questions that you have. Jonathan. Okay.
Would you touch on the Zika virus and how that it is a threat to pregnant women particularly, and that it is sexually transmittable apparently, and it is in the United States? What is Planned Parenthood's plan with dealing with that?
Well, I think everybody's in the process of collecting information about it. I think when we heard about this Zika virus, everyone first thought it was transmitted by mosquitoes and, you know, can create really tragic birth defects in children. This is happening in Brazil, but now the more recent reports are saying this is actually a sexually transmitted infection. And so I think the conversations that we're having are, is that true? If so, it reinforces everything that we ever talked about having protected sex, and that we need to be adding that to our conversations with our patients. But I think there's still a lot that is unknown. I think the other thing I feel and that we need to be doing is to remain calm and get the facts straight. I was, you know, a freshman in college when HIV first really, when the outbreak happened, and I remember that same crazy frenzy, accusations, inaccuracies, discrimination, you know, around that until more of the facts came out and there was a lot of advocacy work. So I think with the Zika virus, those same kinds of crazy myths can come out, and we're going to have to be very, very careful about how we talk about it and how we treat the people who have been infected with it. Great question. Oh, a whole active table. Let's start on the right, and then we'll go to the left.
This happened recently, and I know the parent of one of the children that was at Carly Fiorino's wonderful photo op recently. Did Planned Parenthood respond to that, or was there anything that you did, or did you just basically laugh it off and say she's just a crazy woman?
Well, there's so many different Carly Fiorina incidents. I'm not sure that I even know which one you're referring to.
The one that happened here is the one at the Botanical Center when she took the children in and had them sit in front of an aborted baby.
So that's one of many Carly Fiorina debacles, I would say. Our general philosophy is to not engage. Carly Fiorina has done a huge amount of damage by standing, you know, at the podium at a public debate that was nationally televised and just spewing blatant lies about Planned Parenthood, and then when confronted, just doubled down. I mean, just lie. And so I think we've tried not to dignify her or make any statements other than, I think, our standard line, which is Carly Fiorina has been lying about. We were nice at first, distorted the facts, and now we just say she has a pattern of lying. She has no facts, and these kinds of incidents where she's trying to sensationalize things are disrespectful to women who choose to have a safe and legal procedure. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Iowa State colors guy. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I think I saw on the Daily Show this last week that a grand jury had examined the allegations against Planned Parenthood. Not only had totally exonerated them from any wrongdoing, but then in turn indicted those who made the movie. Is that correct?
Yes, we were actually incredibly excited by some good news last week. That was one piece. So this individual who was the head of the Center for Medical Progress, the fictitious, falsified organization. Planned Parenthood Federation, as well as a number of affiliates, are actually in an active lawsuit against him that we filed about a month ago. It's really conspiracy and RICO charges. But there was, as this individual was saying, in Gulf Coast in Houston, that was one of the organizations that was kind of featured in the video. This is where you don't want to be featured. And so they were under investigation by the state, and the grand jury found not only had they done nothing wrong, but they indicted, just out of the blue, indicted this individual, David Daladian, I think is how you say his last name, and some of his colleagues. And yesterday they had to turn themselves in court. They were arrested and they're in jail. And I think this is just the first of many indictments that are going to happen against these individuals. They kept saying that they were undercover journalists, and they were, you know, justified in these illegal actions because they were exposing, you know, the truth. But the kinds of tactics that they used, the kind of illegal tactics that they used, no self-respecting journalist could ever do without also probably being thrown in jail. So we were very, very heartened that justice, as the wheels of justice are turning. We'll see what happens with that, but I think there will be other cases.
Number one, what are the facts ever going to prove to the side of the political part anywhere, you know, it's going to kickstand in a way of any sort?
Mm-hmm.
And two, I was wondering if this virus is from Brazil or somewhere, they'll find the gorillas there that they got it from to begin with.
I have no idea. I think we'll have to wait for the scientific evidence to roll in.
No, that's just following the pattern of the moment. Mm-hmm. The other virus is starting.
Mm-hmm. Well, I hope whatever we find out about that virus, that there is a cure found soon, because I think the kinds of birth defects that are happening are just absolutely tragic. Mm-hmm.
You mentioned several times that your client base is usually on the lower income scale. Now with the Affordable Care Act, do you foresee losing some of these people, and how would that affect Planned Parenthood? If now a woman could go to, you know, Mercy for a gynecological exam, whereas before she couldn't because they weren't going to take her so much money.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen a decrease, or do you foresee a decrease in the number of people you serve?
Well, I think all of the individuals who worked at Planned Parenthood were proponents of the Affordable Care Act, because we've seen that individuals who are uninsured or who lack insurance are at such a disadvantage. We all have been supporters, but there was this big giant question mark that you're bringing up, is if someone can get insurance, are they going to go to a real doctor? You know, which is kind of, in some ways, people think of us as healthcare for the poor. And it's really been, we have not yet seen clear trends about how the Affordable Care has affected us. In some states, our patients are getting insured, and they're still choosing to come to Planned Parenthood. And I think the reason is not just because of the insurance, is that we actually provide care in a way, in a certain way, that people respond to. And once they've had that kind of care, we are compassionate. We are non-judgmental. We are experts in reproductive and sexual health. And if you go to your little Unity Point clinic in your small town, your provider may have a nicer waiting room, but they also may not have that same background, and they also may not have that same attitude. So, so far, I don't think we've been seeing a huge decrease. One thing we have been seeing a decrease in, and we'll have to figure out as an organization, is there have been medical advances that make it, how should I say it, women don't need to come into their gynecologist as often because of some medical advances. When I was growing up, I'm sure this room doesn't know these facts, these exciting things, is if you wanted to get birth control, you had to have a pap smear every single year, an annual exam. And now the American Congress of Obstetricians and Gynecologists have said you really only need to come in every 3 years. So now our patients, versus needing to come in every year, come in every three, so that means a decline in our patient numbers. Good for the women, it's great. I don't want to go to the gynecologist every year if I don't have to. But it creates just a shift in our business model, if you would think about it that way. The other thing that's happening that is really positive is these long-acting reversible contraceptives that I was talking about. If someone can come in and get a shot and prevent pregnancy for a year, they don't need to come in every single month the way you would to get your pills. And so, just like any healthcare organization, the dynamics of the work are changing, and we have to think about how we're responding. What it does mean is Planned Parenthood now has to compete with other healthcare organizations, and so we're thinking about our patient experience, we're thinking about our locations and the way that our buildings look, with a very critical eye to say how do we remain relevant in the future.
To me, one of the basic things that is how people are educated about sex. When I was a child, my parents left a book called The Encyclopedia of Sex. And, you know, we were supposed to find that and explore it ourselves. Mm-hmm. And I think this is how a lot of people...
You were lucky that you had a book.
Yeah. Well, that book also said I was a psychiatric diagnosis and a sexual deviant. Mm-hmm. So it took me a long time to get past and figure that part out, too. But I really wonder how much, where we are at in educating our youth as to sexual practices, what's healthy sex, because I still see this being fought in legislatures. I still see this being, it seems like the youth is not that much more better educated than I was at times, especially the poorer classes.
Yes, and you would think on one hand now that the internet is available that kids can look up information and get so much more information. Well, they're also getting a lot of misinformation through the internet, and there's also many more opportunities for people to be harassed, as teenagers. Sexting and all of these types of things really are destroying lives. A couple of comments, and then I know you're lurking because we're at time. I actually will end on a very positive note, which is in Iowa, I think that we sometimes don't realize how progressive our sex ed is compared to other states. We actually have on the books, it is mandated that we have age-appropriate, medically accurate sex ed or health education in schools, and it has to include a number of things. And there's actually language being introduced to amend the bill this year that's really positive. It's dating violence is being thrown in. They're adding language around consent. And there's one other thing. Do you remember what it is, Daniel?
Healthy relationships.
Yeah, I think it is healthy relationships. Now, how the school districts choose to offer that, I mean, sometimes it's a PE teacher who has no background. I had a bad film strip, you know, that someone was taking a shower and you're like, is it all going to happen in the shower? I really don't know what's going on here. Seriously, people. You know those blimp film strips that whoop, 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 that, that weird shape? That's how old this crowd is, Jonathan. Okay. But we do have much better sex ed, and our educators have to work hard to get into some school districts, but for the most part, we're so much better off. Some of the other states that we have in our affiliate, they literally, sex ed in schools is forbidden, and or where they have sex ed, it may be abstinence-only education. They really aren't teaching any kind of realistic sex. But I think there probably can never be enough education and information given to young people, because sex, their orientation, now gender, it's all such a big part of our lives in our teen years and then throughout our lives. But in order to get really good, accurate information to people, that's why we need you to write your congresspeople and thank them for what they've done and encourage that. That's how we prevent unintended pregnancy. That's how we prevent sexually transmitted infections like the Zika virus or anything else. That's how we prevent violence and help people create healthy lives for themselves. So I'll stick around if any of you have questions, but thank you so much for the opportunity for being here, and thank you for supporting Planned Parenthood.
We certainly appreciate you coming and speaking with us, and it's our tradition to give a CD
nice.
Of the Des Moines Gay Men's Chorus, which we hope that you will enjoy, and thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Very nice of you.
Very good.
Thank you.
Well, I have been a diehard supporter of Planned Parenthood for a very long time because of one incident, and that is a dear friend of mine when I was in college became pregnant. And out of wedlock, and she went to her doctor, who happened to be my doctor too, and abortion was illegal, and so he referred her to some guy up here in Des Moines, and she came up to Des Moines and had a procedure done in a motel, and came back home to Bloomfield, Iowa, and had been told by this person that she was fine now and it was all behind her and she could go resume her regular activities. I can remember going to a party when she got home from this procedure, and she was dancing and singing and we had a great time. And that night she came down with a horrific infection, had to be rushed to the hospital, and in order to save her life they had to perform a hysterectomy. And obviously she then remained childless for the rest of her life because of that back alley abortion experience. And Planned Parenthood stands against that kind of an environment that there are those even today who would take us back to. And so I've been a diehard supporter of Planned Parenthood ever since, and it has not surprised, it's surprising perhaps, that we are natural allies across the board on many issues, and we have faced some of the same kinds of attacks in the political arena. So we're all familiar with that, and Planned Parenthood is an ally of ours, and we of Planned Parenthood. I can also tell you very quickly about a case that we were involved with at our law firm over telemedicine, a program developed cutting edge by Planned Parenthood to provide health care to women in rural Iowa, a particular need in this state. At the trial court level, the case was lost. Judge said that the Iowa Board of Medicine that had been stacked by Governor Branstad could, in fact, prohibit the telemedicine procedures that had been developed, knowing ahead of time it was going to be politically controversial, but it was done so well in anticipation of that that we appealed that decision to the Iowa Supreme Court, and the decision was reversed by a unanimous Iowa Supreme Court. That trial court judge did his best and couldn't even convince one justice on the Iowa Supreme Court that he had it right. And the telemedicine program was continued. It's been a great thing for the state of Iowa, and Planned Parenthood had the gumption to take the put forth the effort and the money necessary to take that case all the way to the Iowa Supreme Court and win. It was a great thing. So anyway, Planned Parenthood is a great ally of ours, and we of Planned Parenthood, and I encourage you to sign up and be on their mailing list. I am, and try to keep track of their activities and events, and even acknowledge their solicitations occasionally with a contribution. I hope that you will plan on being at our next meeting, which is going to be March the 4th, at the same location. Our speaker is going to be Dr. Andy McGuire, the chair of the Iowa Democratic Party. I thought not having someone political today would be a good thing, just because we could use a little breather. But by next March, perhaps a little reflection over the caucuses will have been possible, and we can let that sort of process for a month. And then McGuire, of course, has been in the news over the controversy around how those caucuses went. A number of you went to caucuses and had a similar experience to Scott's and my experience, which was, this is ridiculous. Really terrible. I did hear one woman whose husband was caucusing for Bernie, and she was caucusing for Hillary, and he was calling across some distance to her to come over and join the Bernie group. Come over and join the Bernie group. And she responded loudly, everyone could hear it, that if I were to do that, you'd have to start taking out your own garbage, and you're not likely to, and I'm not likely to come over there. So it was a great exercise in democracy in action. At any rate, Dr. McGuire is going to be here in March as our speaker, so I look forward to seeing you back to hear what she has to say. And with that, I will thank you again for being here today.